Welcome to the Launch University Podcast, turning good intentions into reality in your career, business, and life. Here's your host, Jeff Henderson.
Okay, everybody, before we begin, I have a confession to make. I have a slight addiction to Coca-Cola. And the reason for that is, one of the reasons is I grew up in Atlanta. And when you grow up in Atlanta, they teach you to do two things. That's drink Coca-Cola and eat Chick-fil-A. And I'm accomplished at both of those. But the reason I tell you that is because of our guest today. Our guest today is David Butler. And David is the Vice President of Innovation and Entrepreneurship at the Coca-Cola Company. And I love that for several reasons. Number one, here's a company that's been around for over 100 years, okay? Well over 100 years. They are, from all research will tell us this, they are the most recognizable brand on the planet. And yet, they still have a desire to be relevant, and they still have a desire to innovate, and they still have this desire to have a startup mentality. And that's David's role. And part of the reason they have that is because they have this gigantic mission, and this mission says that their goal and their mission is to have a Coca-Cola within arm's reach of anyone on the planet. Now, there is a gigantic goal. I love that. And so in a large part, they've entrusted David with making sure that the company doesn't become irrelevant or out of place, or that they can somehow fall back from that mission and vision. So today you're going to get to hear from the Vice President of Innovation and Entrepreneurship at the Coca-Cola Company. And I've known David for 7 years now. He's a fantastic thinker, fantastic innovator. But even more importantly than that, he's a fantastic husband and a father, and he's just a great person. So I'm so excited that our Launch University community is going to be able to hear from David Butler today. Now, before we go to that, I just want to remind you who the hero of the podcast is. And the hero of this podcast is you. We believe that you have great ideas and good intentions in you. And what we want to do is help take those great ideas and good intentions, make them and turn them into reality and sustain them. And we believe if we'll help you do that, then we help make the world a better place. That's really the goal of Launch University, to take good intentions, turn it into reality, sustain it, and help make the world a better place. And so you're the hero. We're simply the guide. And one of the things that David Farmer and Shane Benson and Kevin Jennings and I wanted to do is, as we were having conversations like this with David Butler, and Ford Fry is our next guest on the podcast coming up after these two interviews with David. And Ford, if you know Ford, he's one of the leading chefs and restaurant entrepreneurs and innovators in the country right now. And we were having these conversations, and we thought, well, why don't we just give these conversations out to a wider circle? And that's why we're doing these podcasts. We were going to have these conversations anyway, but why not record them and give them to you? So that's what we're doing here. And so today you get to visit with one of the sharpest thinkers around, David Butler. So without any further ado, here's David. Well, I'm very excited to have David Butler with me, and David knows this story, but I remember first seeing who David Butler was through Fast Company magazine. And I actually copied the article, sent it to my leadership team when I was at Buckhead Church. And then somebody told me, hey, you know, David actually goes to Buckhead Church. And I said, wait, what? And so I don't know how, I think I just sent you a fan mail or something. And then we had lunch together. And then fast forward, when we launched Gwinnett Church, in the very early days, I had three people that were helping me start it. And we went down to visit you, David. And that was a really formative time for our team. In fact, the concepts that you shared with us at that meeting, and then a subsequent meeting that our team had, we went down to see you again, really are some of the things that you wrote in your book, Designed to Grow. So I'm so excited that David's here. So if you're launching inside an organization, and David's in a gigantic organization, and he's going to talk about how he approaches that, or if you're all by yourself and you're trying to launch something, the principles that David is going to talk about in the next two podcasts, really, scale and agility and how to design to grow, is just absolutely phenomenal. But David, before we get into that, tell us your job and tell us kind of how a typical day looks like for David Butler at Coca-Cola.
Well, Jeff, thank you. First of all, thank you for having me in this podcast or asking me to be here. It's awesome to be here. I told you just a second ago, it's super inspiring for me. So anyway, thank you. So typical day, first of all, I travel a lot, actually around the world. And so I normally get up at 5 a.m., whatever time zone that is, and I just sort of have made that a principle.
I have a hard time doing the math on time zones. It's like minus three equals...
So 5 o'clock, and I'm a huge coffee drinker, so I get up and spend, I don't know, the first hour of my day sort of in my quiet time, and that I can do a lot of things, but they all involve coffee. So it could be, just thinking or email if I want to, or meditating or praying or really, or just, just sort of thinking about the day. But
right.
That's how I start every day.
That's great. And so in your role at innovation and entrepreneurship at Coca-Cola, so that whole idea and creativity and what's new, that's a daily thing for you, right?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't answer your question. That's how I start. But I work with founders, early stage, people who start early stage companies around the world. And so first half of my day is actually on the phone through Slack or through any kind of way, but through phone, Slack, or, Skype or anything. But just connecting with people, with founders every day. That's how I spend basically the first half of my day, the morning. Second half is really what I say for meetings at Coke and, meeting other people on the West Coast, other time zones that wake up then. So it's really, I'm connected with people all day long. That's basically what I do.
Well, I have to tell you, as a native Atlantan, I'm a gigantic Coca-Cola fan. And, when you grow up in Atlanta, they teach you to do two things, drink Coca-Cola and eat Chick-fil-A, and I do that very well. But one of the inventions, if people ask me what is my favorite invention, and I'm not saying this just because you're here, is the Freestyle machine. Mm. And that, tell us about that idea and where that came from. And that's a gigantic idea. I still don't know how in the world does that thing work. It's amazing.
Well, the short story, we could fill the whole podcast with that. But the short story is Coke was had a problem, had a need. And the need was, we have a huge portfolio of products. So 3,500 products, 500 brands. Most people know Coke, Sprite, Fanta, those brands. But we have coffee, tea, energy brands, water brands, all these things. The fountain machine, we call that a fountain machine. So if you think just a few years ago, you'd go up to a fountain machine in some sort of fast food restaurant or something,
right,
and you'd have maybe six or eight choices. So we the problem was, we have a huge portfolio and we wanted to be able to offer more products through that same amount of space in the restaurant. We couldn't go to the restaurant owner and say, great, give us double, triple the space. So basically we designed a way to offer more products in the same footprint of space. And there's all kinds of technologies and stuff that allow us to do that, but that's the general idea.
That's a fantastic idea. And the thing I love about that is, you may be listening to this today and you think, okay, it's all me. I'm the only one out here. I have a dream. And then here's David, and he's working at this, arguably the world's most well-known brand in a gigantic company, and yet he's trying to think like you are. I mean, you're trying to think like somebody that is just trying to start up. So you're trying to keep, to some extent, the entrepreneurial spirit of Coca-Cola alive in a 100-year-old plus company.
Absolutely. That's basically my job description.
Yeah. And so to do that, you talk about two things in your book. You talk about a lot. In the book, Designed to Grow, you've got to get, and I don't say that again just because David's here, it's how Coca-Cola learned to combine scale and agility. And you also wrote this with Linda Tischler. Tell us who Linda is.
Yeah, Linda Tischler, I have to say, sadly, just recently passed away, actually a couple weeks ago. She had a long, hard fight with cancer, and she just passed away. But Linda was an inspiration, but her official title was senior editor at Fast Company.
Yeah.
So I met her, actually, Jeff, through that article that you referenced a minute ago. And she's the one that actually came up with the idea for the book. She said, hey, would you be interested in writing a longer version of that article in Fast Company? And, I said, sure, I have no idea how. And, anyway, we started that journey together. But, yeah,
that's
who Linda is.
Well, so in the book, you talked about scale and agility. So Coca-Cola has scale, but when a company has scale, they may not have agility. Now, if you're starting out by yourself, you have a lot of agility, but you don't have scale. So talk to the person that has agility right now but doesn't have scale.
Yeah, so the hardest thing for any early stage company is to, and this is, we talked about this in terms of designing for scale, but the hardest thing is to sort of stop experimenting, stop launching new features, stop launching new things, but to sort of stop so you can start scaling.
Right.
And it's not really stopping, but it's just the way that you're designing your business. And so we talk about three things that you have to do to design for scale in the book. And the first one is to simplify. So simplify what you're doing. So stop exploring, simplify, standardize what you're doing, and then integrate those pieces together so that you can scale. And that's, again, it sounds very easy and sort of simple, but it's hard because most entrepreneurs they're sort of wired to try new things and keep trying new things. But at some point, you have to, you know, decide you want to start scaling.
And the best time to think about that is right now if you're starting. It's not build it and then, okay, now we have to simplify, standardize, and integrate. And so how do you do that at Coke now? I mean, how do you simplify this gigantic company?
Yeah, so again, if you look backwards and think about Coca-Cola, the brand and the product, you can see how the company grew to the state that it is today. So, I mean, not that long ago, actually, Jeff, the company had one product, one package, one brand,
right,
and one price. So for over 70 years, Coca-Cola sold for a nickel. And so if you think about that, just as a leader, think about how simple your business model is, how easy it is to scale that. So again, simplify, standardize, and integrate those pieces together to then scale. And that's what they did. And that's why they're essentially within arm's reach of desire. That's how they talk about it.
And that's the Coke mantra, right? We want Coke within
arm's reach of desire,
of anyone in the world.
And so their Coke today is, they started actually here in Atlanta today. That's a company that's local in 207 countries, essentially in every city on the planet. North Korea is the only country that Coke is not in, by the way. Again, 3,500 products, over 700,000 employees, 500 brands, and almost 2 billion people drink something from the company every day.
Wow. That, ladies and gentlemen, is scale. that's scale. Now, David gave me a question in the early days of launching Gwinnett Church, which was, I say this all the time, and here's the question I asked you, and you said, Jeff, that's actually a bad question. Because think of David's world. You know, Coke has to issue quarterly statements. You know, here's how we did this past quarter. So David's role is to launch, try things. And I thought, at what point do you have to have a success? And you said, you can't ask the question, is it working? You asked another question. And tell me that question that you gave me that has just been so helpful, not only for me, but for our team.
Yeah, really the question was, what are you learning?
Right.
And then that's sort of the question itself. But, just the mindset is important. So most big companies, very successful organizations, hire managers, not explorers. So when a manager tells their boss that they want to start exploring something, immediately the manager thinks, great, what's the return on that going to be? Because, we have limited resources, da-da-da. So the mindset really is to, challenge yourself to start thinking about that in terms of, exploring or learning. And this is what every entrepreneur, every founder does. Again, keep in mind they call it runway, but they have enough money to pay for, whatever, their staff. It could be two people.
Right.
Their staff for X amount of time, and they do the math, and they know we have 3 months to get to a product and get it to market and hopefully get some product market fit, hopefully that will start to get traction. So the way they think about it, they don't think about they're going to fail or, is it successful? It's learning to get to that place that they have already mapped to. So everything they do is all about learning. And that, anyway, it's hard to think like that when you're inside of a large, successful organization, because it's designed to execute, not really learn. So anyway, the question is really to challenge the mindset, really, more than anything.
And what that question is going to require is courage. Because if you don't have the courage to go, hey, this might not work, but we're going to go down this path because we think what we're going to learn is going to be as valuable as discovering if it works or not. And so around, at different times that we've launched things around here, if I'm asked, will this work? I will ask, well, I don't know, but we're going to learn something really great. And you have to be careful. You don't need to spend, but you could go, well, does that mean you spend a bunch of money on things like this? And that's where the entrepreneurial edge comes in. And you talk about prototyping. So tell us, so what are we learning? Okay, well, that doesn't mean you build the whole thing, hashtag webvan, and it kind of falls apart. But talk about prototyping and why that's so important. And what is prototyping?
Yeah, two things. You mentioned this before, but every entrepreneur, every founder is very conscious of the money and the time. So,
right.
But generally speaking, honestly, inside of large organizations, successful organizations, managers aren't, really worried about that. I mean, they're going to get paid and
right.
So forth. So, so the hardest thing to do if you're, again, successful inside of large organizations is to think like an entrepreneur. And what I mean by that is thinking in terms of time and money. So, the whole purpose behind prototyping, and it's sort of a concept called creating a minimum viable product.
Right.
So there's different types of prototypes. So if you're a car company, you could call a prototype something that is just about to launch, still call it a prototype because it hasn't launched yet, but it's basically finished. Entrepreneurs think about that differently. They go all the way back to the beginning and say, what is the minimum thing I need to start learning? So it's literally the cheapest, fastest thing I can create to start learning about if this is actually going to meet a need in the market. So it's, anyway, to get your question, again, be conscious of the time and money. So what's the cheapest thing, the fastest thing I can create to start learning? And that could be anything. That could be if you have an idea, it's you scribble on a piece of paper and you walk to the person next to you and say, hey, if we launch this or if we had this, would that make sense to you? That person says, yes, no, maybe. You start learning right away.
Right.
So generally speaking, it can apply to anything, but it's just what's the fastest thing you can create for the least amount of money to start learning? That's a better tip.
Can we go, I sent David these questions. I'm not even following any of this.
Matter.
I'm just jumping, but I'm so fascinated by this. Can I go back to the freestyle machine?
Sure.
So what was there prototyping involved in that? Were there failures in that? And how did you keep pushing through that so that you ultimately have these wonderful machines at AMC Theaters, which I love?
Yeah, let me, I'm not sure exactly what I can talk about in terms of that, but let me talk about maybe another example.
Yeah.
Part of my job is...
I love the confidential. I love that we're talking about that. This is secret.
So we did. Let me just make sure.
So you did that. Okay.
But, I'm not sure exactly how much I can talk about that. So let me talk about another one. Part of my job is to manage a portfolio of early stage, seed stage startups. And so one of those startups is a food startup based in Berlin. And their idea was, what if we could sell food and drinks through a cooler, like a Coke cooler? And what if we could, enable that through social media and blah, blah. But the first prototype they did is they actually just went and bought food, just took the label off, put their own label, piece of paper that they printed out of a copy machine on that, put it in a cooler in the lobby of the Coke office in Berlin. And when people walked by, they said, hey, we're selling this food, would you buy it? And they did that in one day. So that's the same day. They came up with the idea and tested that in the same day. So
Wow. Anyway,
answer your question. Yes, we did all that with freestyle. We do all that all the time. But I'm not exactly sure how much I can talk about freestyle.
Yeah, I love this. We could tell you, but we'd have to come and kill you, and that would be fun. So I love the fact that even a large, large company like Coke, they've got this entrepreneurial edge about them. What are we learning? It's going to require courage. And then one of my favorite lines in your book, David, is this one, and I'm going to quote exactly from it. And it goes exactly in the line of what we're talking about. Too many traditional marketers plan big campaigns, spend big bucks, only to search at the end for favorable data to justify all that money spent. And so you're basically talking about the alternative, right, as the minimum viable product. And that's why you're involved with these really young startups, because talk about minimum viable product. You just, the Berlin example is perfect.
Yeah. Again, it's kind of a mindset. So when you think, generally speaking, when you think about founders or people who are starting, startups these days, they have one thing in mind, and that is to make things people want versus making people want things.
So, wow. Can you say that again?
Yeah.
That's really good.
Making things people want versus making people want things.
That's good.
That's sort of the mindset. You can see that as a marketer, you can sort of see the difference between the way a big company would think, in terms of making people want things and the way they would approach marketing, big media campaigns, lots of people, blah, blah. But if you're an early stage startup today, really what you're trying to do is solve a big problem and make sure that a core set of people love your product. So they try not to spend any money on marketing. Honestly, they actually try to create something that will travel by word of mouth, that a product, an app, or something that you can't live without. So you'll tell your friends, they'll tell their friends, da-da-da. It's a mindset. It's a different way to think about it.
Okay, that's one of the reasons you need to stop what you're doing right now. don't write and drive, but to write that down, to make things people want instead of making people want things. That's gigantic. And a lot of times, another way to say that is, don't create something that then goes looking for a problem.
Exactly. Actually, on that, Jeff, let me say that, I travel a lot. So the first thing, I sit down and on the plane and, someone beside me will say, what's your name? Where do you work? Hey, I'm David. I work for Coke. Oh, wow. My brother-in-law has this beautiful idea to do blah, blah, blah. I get that every day, right?
Right?
And usually people call that an idea, but really it's a solution. And so to your point, it's so easy just to have a brainstorming session in your organization and, you sort of brainstorm solutions. We call them ideas, but really they're solutions. And at the end of the day, we say, okay, we're going to pick the top three solutions and go searching for a problem that they...
Wow.
But if you can flip that around and say, let's brainstorm problems. What are the biggest problems that we have? Just the super wicked, multi-dimensional, multi-sided problems. Let's brainstorm those and then either try to solve them ourselves or think who we can bring in to help us solve these problems. So anyway, I couldn't help but say that. But again, if you can it's a mindset thing, but if you can flip it around and say, let's brainstorm problems and just list all the problems and then just focus on the big ones, you know, that's how.
And maybe the thing you need to do with your current idea is to ask people, what do you think the problem is we're trying to solve? And we talked about that a little bit in our first podcast with David, Shane, and Kevin, so you might want to check that out as well. A couple other things, and then we'll close. David's going to be back for our next podcast coming up, but you also said the goal of a leader is to connect the visible stuff of the organization to the invisible stuff of the organization. So tell us what you mean by the visible stuff and the invisible stuff, and why, first of all, you got to know what those are, and then why is it so important to connect those?
Yeah, Jeff, this is basically what the whole book is about, so I'll give it to you in 2 minutes here. First of all, let me say I'm kind of a geek about systems and systems theory, and so I won't go all into that, but essentially the concept behind systems theory is sort of an easy thing to remember. Structure drives behavior, which drives results. Structure drives behavior, which drives results. So as a leader, as a manager, let's say you're a CEO of a company, you know, you can look at the results. You mentioned quarterly earnings, or you can look at results right. And say, sales results. Okay, these sales results aren't what we need them to be. So you go to your sales team and say, hey, get out there and sell more, you know, behavior. Get out there and sell more so we can get more, you know, better results, more sales.
Right.
But if the incentives aren't there, the structure isn't there, or the right people aren't there to actually sell more, you can scream at them all day long, but they're never going to get the results that you need. So as a leader especially, you have to look at the invisible stuff, the structure that is undermining sometimes, but underlining your whole organization. So the incentives, the process, the culture, these things are critical, but it's the stuff you can't see, the stuff that most people focus on, the stuff you can see because it feels good. Wow, look at that, it's a new building or whatever. Or look at all these people, you know, but it's the invisible stuff that actually drives that.
And as a leader, you have to be aware of that. How do you see that at Coke? How do you see the invisible stuff?
Is to be conscious of that, you know, to always be mindful of the structure that's driving the behavior. So just keeping that in mind, just making sure that once we start talking about a problem or an opportunity, to really get underneath that and think through what's wrong with the structure? Why can't we do that now? And really look at the structure in place, or what do we need in terms of a structure? You know, a new business model, a new model to actually be able to do that.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I'm going to ask David what all the new products that he's launching at Coke is, but I'm going to have to shut the podcast down. So I'm just kidding. But David is going to be back for our next podcast. And let me give you a preview of what we're going to talk about. One of the things he talks about is that you've got to get out of the building. New ideas don't really reside in the cubicle. Then we're going to talk about something that is so important, resilience versus strength, which is another reason, if just for that alone, you need to listen to the podcast. And then we're going to talk about what he's currently learning, and then we'll talk a little bit more about his places for inspiration and learning. So don't miss the next podcast. But I want to go back to your two comments, and you tell us again, structure drives behavior, drives results.
Okay.
So what in the early days, if you can get the structure there, and then tell us the line about making, if you make things people want, instead of making people want things. That is genius.
Well, a big thank you to my friend David Butler, and I can't wait for you to hear the next part of my conversation with David. And before we let you go, we would love for you to encourage David. You could send him a message on Twitter. You could tell him one of the insights that you learned from this podcast. Pick up his book. It would be a great thing, not only for him, but especially for you. And then again, we'll be back with him next podcast. And then after that, as you recall, we're going to be sitting down with Ford Fry, one of the leading restaurant launchers in the country. Can't wait for you to learn from Ford. Now, before we go, just a reminder, if you can subscribe to the podcast, that would be a huge help to us. And leave a comment, leave a review, talk back to us, and we'll talk back to you. We hope today has helped you take another step toward launching that great idea and good intention, bringing it into reality, sustaining it, and helping make this world a better place. That's why we're doing this. Until then, keep launching, and we'll see you next time here at Launch University.
Thanks for listening to the Launch University podcast. We hope it's helped move you from go-getter to difference maker. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review. Find more great resources at launchu.net.